Blog Talk Radio.
You Can't Clip My Wings, a powerful show that discusses life and how we live it.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. How is everyone? I hope everyone is doing great. We are back one more time for the book, Hell of a Pen Name by C.B. McCall. Now, yesterday, it went very well. I think it did. I'm hoping you guys enjoyed it. You can call in at 563-999-3576. That's 563-999-3576 to chime in if you want to know more about the story or even know more about what I do. You can also check us out on youcan'tclipmywings.com, which is our website. Check us out over on our Facebook page, okay, which is You Can't Clip My Wings. Most of the time, it's going to be the same name. Now, I attempted to have the music playing at the same time. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if you can hear my voice as loud as I'm trying to talk to you guys. We're going to try that, okay? Before we get started, just kind of give you a little, excerpt or go back, review over what we've talked about so far. We are on chapter 6. We're in the middle of chapter 6. Let's see here. Give me a second here. Okay, those I've already done. Golly, we went through a lot. Okay, we've gotten that out the way. Maybe this is it. Okay. This will be next. We're going to definitely, as you know, right now, strange things are starting to happen. It's like everything is like speeding up. So there's a lot of strange things that are starting to happen to everybody. Let's see here. I want to make sure. Give me one second here. Okay, that's not the end, but everything is speeding up. We found out that Elsa got murdered. They still haven't found the person who did it. Gordon again was threatened by Natas, telling him that he's going to play the part of the author of the book, Seth Brockingham. He's not going to do a lot of talking because they don't want him to talk. He's going to change his whole persona, and he's going to be doing book signings for this book because now this book is out of control all over the place. Even though the kids, the parents are not happy with this book, they are going crazy and people are buying them. They're buying this book like crazy. So now he needs a persona to make sure that the mission to keep pushing the issue is going to go through, because his whole purpose is to bring more people on board with this book, and that's what Gordon's going to come into play. In Louisiana, Candace had an encounter. Things are starting to happen in her life that's a lot of different than what was going on in Gordon's life. And then the doctors in Colorado are definitely going through some things, have seen some things, and they're still curious about what's going on. And they're just trying to just kind of survive all this craziness. And each and every day they're wondering, when is this going to be over? Okay? So I'm going to try something. I'm going to try something. I want to see this music. Awesome. Please forgive me for the, let's see. It's kind of low. Don't want it up too loud. Okay. So we're going to try this haunted music. We're going to try it, okay? Not to say that it's going to work, but we're going to try it anyway. And if it gets too loud, I'm going to have to you know, adjust it again. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to turn it down just a little because I do want you guys to hear it in the background. This is my first time trying to do this, but we're going to get through this, okay? Again, if you want to call in, you can call in at 563-999-3576. That's 563-999-3576 is the number to call in. And thank you guys for hanging out with us here on YCCMW 2020. I hope you're going to enjoy the show. All right. So, Candace found herself dropping to her knees and praying. She realized that she was having problems with her spirituality. She hadn't been praying that much lately. Okay. So we know this is loud. Okay. She wondered if God was angry with her. This was his way of getting her attention. If this was, it was working. God had her undivided attention. After praying, she walked toward the kitchen, opened the refrigerator to search for something to drink. Her eyes fell on a can of 7-Up. She grabbed it, slammed the door, and walked back into the living room. She flopped down on the couch with the remote control in her hand. She began flipping through channels. She finally found a movie. Talking to James earlier really made her feel more at ease. She had to really convince him not to come over. Okay, let's do something. Did we talk about... Okay, all right. All right, here we go. In the past few days, she realized that they still had a lot of things in common. She enjoyed their conversations and the times they spent together. She started to feel something toward him. She didn't want to say that it was love. She was in love, but there was something there. Her mind allowed her to travel down memory lane when she heard something down the hall. She whipped her head around, but didn't see anything. She turned on the light next to the couch, stood up, and there was her dog, Scotty, walking toward her. She smiled. What are you trying to do? Give me a heart attack? She picked him up and he licked her hand. It was about 4 a.m. when she woke up again. Her room was pitch black. She was scared for some reason. She sat up and looked around. Her keen sense told her something was in the room beside her and Scotty. Listening to Scotty's breathing kept her mind a little steady. She stretched her feet out and went to turn on her side. When out of the corner of her eye, she saw it. It was a little nymph with short, dwarf-like qualities. It seemed as though it was a female by the scraggly strands of gray hair sticking out of the hooded cloak. Candace turned toward it to get a full view of her heart. Her heart almost leaped out of her chest. Right in the middle of the nymph's head was a hatchet. Blood dripped profusely from the hatchet's handle. The nymph began to laugh an eerie laugh. She quickly turned on the light and it disappeared. She looked around the room several times, but she didn't see anything. She then slept with the lights on and her head under the covers, praying. Candace took the next day off. She spent it reading her Bible and meditating. The phone rang. She picked it up. Hello. Hi. How are you today? They told me you took the day off. I thought I should call and check on you. I'm fine, she lied. She was too scared to tell him about what she was seeing. She knew he would think she was crazy. Do you want me to come over and check on you? You can if you want to. I'll be over after work. Okay, we'll order in and talk. That will work. She did need someone to talk to. Okay. Now, we're going to Colorado. Let's see what's happening in Colorado. Hank woke up, felt as though he hadn't slept at all. It was like the weight of the world was on his shoulders. As he got out of bed, he made sure he didn't disturb his wife's slumber. He stood up and stretched, but it didn't help. He felt tight and tired. He slipped his foot into a slipped his feet, excuse me, into his slippers. He stepped into the large bathroom with its double sinks and gold-trimmed mirrors. He looked at the person that was staring back at him. His puffy eyes, his jaws sagged a little. He wiped his face with a warm towel and he pulled from the rack. He brushed his teeth, walked out, and made his way down the hall to little Tiffany's room. He slowly opened the door. She lay curled up in her bed, sound asleep. Her voice had cleared up. The only sign that she had seen was the scratch marks on her little arms. Hank smiled down at her, and that made him feel a little better. At least he knows that his medicine did work. But for how long? He had to wait on that. He quietly walked out the room and headed down the stairs. He opened a large decorative oak door to get the newspaper. The air was crisp, and there was a smell of rain. The sun began to creep up from behind the clouds. The front of the large house with its four bedrooms and 3.5 baths on the main floor was 2,192 square feet, and the second level was 1,934 square feet. Hank's favorite place in the house was his screened-in porch, which was on the main level. His house was the fruit of his labor. He felt his heart jump. He had raised his little girl here. In his backyard, he gave away his only daughter to her husband, Tiffany's father, at a beautiful spring weather some years ago. He looked at his bushes and decided to let the gardener know it was time to trim them. The cobblestone sidewalk to the house was a little warm to his feet. He walked back to the house and closed the door. Finding his way to his office right off from the family room, he turned on the light and sat down at the desk. He began writing in his journal about his granddaughter's reaction to the medication. He heard something behind him. He turned around, but he didn't see anything, so he continued to write. He then smelled something as it drifted slowly past Hank's head. He coughed and placed his hand over his nose. He again turned around, and there, standing by him a few feet away, was this creature. Its arms were long and shoulders broad. His face was a color of pale green. The slithery tongue darted in and out of his mouth. "So, you're the man with the plan." Hank couldn't believe his ears. Whatever this thing was, it spoke very good English. Nada sat down in the chair in front of the large desk. He crossed his long legs and he placed his hands in his lap. "How's little Tiffany?" To his surprise, Hank began to stammer. How did you get it here? How do you know my granddaughter's name?" "I know a lot about your nice little compact family." He smiled, his yellow teeth shining. "You love them very much. And your little Tiffany is doing a lot better. Sorry about all of this." The smell of the creature started to make Hank's stomach turn. "What do you know about what's going on?" "I don't think you need to know all of that. You have your hands full already." Hank began to feel weak. "You don't look so good, old Hank. Do you want some water?" Nada started getting up from his position in the chair. He snapped his fingers and a tall glass of ice water appeared. "Drink up. You'll need your strength later." Nada walked around the room. His eyes fell upon a large family Bible. He pulled out a handkerchief and used it to open the Bible. Hank noticed that the expression on the creature's face had changed. He was now angry. "Boy, you humans are so gullible.
are you so eager to believe in something or someone that anything will do? Try believing in yourself, or better yet, believe in me. I can do the same thing that God can do. I can protect you. I can make you prosperous. I can heal you. What else do you need? He continued to leaf through the large Bible. Hank placed his glass of water down on the coaster. You're not going to drink that water. There are people in hell that would love that water. Well, why don't you offer to them? Hank looked directly in the creature's eyes. He was not pleased at what he saw. This was evil standing in his office, blaspheming my heavenly Father, he thought to himself. He began reciting the Lord's Prayer. Nodis got angry. His eyes turned red like fire. He pointed his finger at Hank. Hank began to cough, but he refused to stop saying the Lord's Prayer over and over again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He lies me down in green pastures. Nodis didn't realize that the old man had so much strength. He still was no match for Satan himself. Nodis suddenly slapped Hank across the face with his long, large, clawed hand, knocking him to the floor. Nodis leaned down and looked directly in his face. You are no match for me, old man. I can make your life a living hell, so don't push me. Nodis forked mouth, and he licked Hank on the leg. Cheek, and then disappeared. Tiffany ran in the room and knelt down by her grandfather. Papa, what are you doing on the floor? Hank found himself holding his ears, still reciting the Lord's Prayer. He opened his eyes. His little Tiffany was trying to help him up. Are you all right? I'm fine, baby. Hank looked around the room. The fit was gone, and so was Nodis. Hank knew he had been face to face with the devil himself. No one could tell him anything different. Hank began to try to put things together. He wondered why Satan would show his face now. And why did he know so much about the outbreak? It dawned on Hank that this creature was the culprit that destroyed his life.
All right. I'm going to take a little small break, and I'm going to come back. I hope you guys like that. I got a little kind of chilly when I was listening to the music. Wow. I got a little chilly myself. So let's go ahead and take a little break. It's a little tiny break. And come back. Let's see here. Golly, I didn't know I had all this. Okay, let's do this one.
Of course my kid's in the right car seat. Well, I think he is.
Yeah, my kid's in a booster seat. He was ready to move up. He is ready, right?
Her car seat looks like the right size.
There are probably rules on when to move up to a booster seat, aren't there?
Rear-facing? Forward-facing? I think I have it right.
Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Are your children in the right car seat for their age and size? Don't think you know. Know you know. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat.
I know my child's in the right car seat, or else I wouldn't get in the driver's seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All right, you guys, we are back here on YCCMW 2020. I am your host, Alita, and we're reading excerpts from the book Hell of a Pen Name by C.B. McCall. We are on part three, and we just started chapter six. Let's see, is this six? We just finished chapter six. So now, yeah. Now we're going to be going into chapter 7 in a few seconds here. So let's go ahead and get going. Hold up, you guys. I want to see something here. Just for a moment. I want to make sure. Yeah, I got it. Okay. So now we're back in Tennessee. Do you see how everything is getting heated up and everything is moving fast? I'm going to slow it down. I'm saying that here in this. Okay, I'm going to make sure I got that right. I'm going to slow it down. And I want you to understand, you guys, this book is copyrighted. It's my work. I didn't make it up. I didn't, I didn't copy it from anybody. It's all my work, okay? So please feel free to give me your opinion, 563-999-3576, 563-999-3576. If you guys want me to continue doing this, I think I'll go all the way into, we're still in chapter 6, you guys. So far, okay, we're in chapter 6 so far, okay? So now we're back in Tennessee. So let's see. You heard what happened with Dr. Sullivan coming in face-to-face with Nodus or Satan, to switch his name around. I just thought Nodus was a good name to kind of throw you off, but now you guys know. And there is a possibility when I publish this book that it will, the names will change, okay? There is a big possibility. Hey, I can do that. It's my book, okay? So you saw that the encounters everybody is starting to have, because, like I said, Nodus is in a, he's trying to make all this stuff happen. It needs to happen. He's making things move faster, okay? But I'm going to tell you, even though he's trying to make it move faster, it's a lot more stuff going on, okay? Hold it. Let's see. Okay. A lot of stuff going on, okay? So, we're back in Tennessee again. Gordon stood in the mirror in the plush hotel bathroom, gold-plated faucets, and seashell-shaped sinks. The marble tub in the black and gold shower cubicle reminded him of some of the resorts his family would rent from time to time. He felt different. The curly, newly dyed hair and the new green eyes made Gordon feel out of place. See, now Gordon's persona is about to change. He's now this Seth Brockingham. Keep the name on your brain, because Seth Brockingham is actually the author of the book, The Boy Who Had Wings, okay? He no longer was wearing his jeans and polo shirts. He was now someone else. He was Seth Brockingham, and he had a crowd to please. The dark spin pinstripe suit and the Italian leather penny loafers felt like cotton on his feet, totally different from his heavy Timberlands. Nodus had taken care of everything for Gordon. So Nodus has changed his whole persona, everything about him. You'll see what happens in this. He walked back into the suite and sat down on the beautiful French-made couch, which was a replica of a couch that was in the mansion in the south of France. So it wasn't real, luxury hotel that he was staying in. How was he able to afford all that? Because he's the author of a book that's selling like hotcakes, okay? He walked back into the suite and sat down on the beautiful French-made couch, okay? All the furniture in the suite seemed as though it came out of a French decorative magazine or designer magazine. I should have said that. I'm sorry. Decor. A French decor magazine. The Persian rugs with its burgundy flowers was well coordinated with the furniture. The bed was high off the floor with its large, dark maple frame. He was nervous and he missed Carol. He hadn't been this alone since the death of his parents. There was a knock on the door. A man in a black butler's uniform informed Gordon that it was time. The limousine was waiting. The limousine was waiting. The limousine was raining. I'm sorry, I got mixed up here. He again looks around the room. What in the world was he doing here? Why was he doing this? What was it, to save Carol or to save the children or both? But he was not saving children. He was endangering them. His first book signing was in Nashville, and it was a success by the standards of NADA. Chattanooga was his second stop. He no longer felt like himself. Nadas has taken over every aspect of his life. Gordon no longer talked or thought in the same way. It was as though someone else moved in his body and took over. There was a crowd that gathered outside the lavish hotel. Across the street was another crowd. They had signs saying no to the book and saying how God will punish him and anyone who follows behind the book. The signs bobbed up and down while people began singing Onward Christian Soldier and Shake the Devil Off. Wow. There were several news vans and reporters surrounding him, shoving their microphones with their call station numbers on them in his face, in his handsome face, excuse me. Nadas, dressed in his dark brown suit and his black curly hair, was white, and white teeth, smiled as he led Gordon into the limousine. So now Nadas is in the full-blown as a human. He's not that other thing that he was. So he's also there with him. So I think Nadas took on the persona of the publicist, okay, or his PR person. After the chauffeur closed the door, Gordon's heart was in his stomach. He was again afraid. How are you feeling, my boy? Nadas asked, still wearing that smile. Nadas looked at Gordon with a look of contempt. No, Gordon looked at Nadas, then looked away. When can Carol join me? Nadas looked at Gordon with a look of contempt. She's part of your other life, Seth. She's not invited to this, he said, waving his hand. I thought I made that clear. Give it some time. You will get over her. You'll have women falling at your feet. I don't want women. I don't want any other woman. I'm in love with Carol. Rubbing his chin, Nada said, Carol belongs to Gordon and not Seth. Seth hates in women is more refined. Look, Seth, I do not want to hear you mention that name again. Put her out of your mind. Gordon looked out the window at a man that was burning trash in their yard. The man waved at the long, sleek black car. Lying to Carol about visiting a relative about 3 months ago left a hollow feeling in his heart. She was his rock. He snuck a call to Carol one night, and he explained to her again another lie. He was happy to hear from her. Her voice made him long for her even more. The ride was long, and Nadas continued to bark out instructions on what Gordon was supposed to do and say. Again, as they drove up to a large bookstore, there was a crowd on both sides of the street. The police did their best to maintain as the crowds grew. Nadas was smiling. Look at the crowd, Seth. They are here for you. He was proud and full of himself as he climbed out first to clear the way for Seth. Again, microphones from the news stations were shoved in his face, and again, Nadas took over and spoke to them, answering all their questions. Carol was about to turn off the television when she saw Gordon dressed in black and red. His hair was now dyed blonde and his eyes green. He was smiling and signing a book. When she looked closer, she noticed some kids holding up a book. She remembered seeing the book on the table in Gordon's study. Carol couldn't believe her ears. There was this man who was speaking for Gordon. She noticed the man was calling Gordon Seth Brockingham.
The man stated that Seth had the rights of freedom of speech, and why does he have to defend himself? The man went on to explain why it was not his fault the kids loved the writings of Seth, and that he would be working on the sequel to this book. The man was tall like Gordon, but he had a look on his face and in his eyes that made you know there was a hidden agenda. When he smiled, he had the whitest teeth Carol had ever seen. He was as handsome as Gordon was. Wait a minute, Carol remembered that Gordon told him he was visiting family. What was going on? She hadn't heard from Gordon in weeks. She was totally confused. The young brunette reporter with her perky nose smiled in Gordon's face with a look of admiration. She began reporting. This young man has taken the world by storm, keeping everyone in the dark about who wrote the book, The Boy Who Had Wings. He has inspired a lot of young people to dig deep inside, take charge of their lives, and just live. As you can see, a lot of parents are very angry about the contents of this book. Some say it has twisted the minds of their young children. Others say they are no longer their children. They are little demons. We have to remember that everyone is entitled to his or her opinions. And if they don't like the book, just don't buy it. But in the process, don't stop others who enjoy that type of reading. As she looked over at Seth's publicist, I'm Julie Brunell, Channel 6 News reporting. Carol pressed off the button on the remote control. She sat back on a plush couch and cried. Why would Gordon lie to me? In this book, he never mentioned that he wrote a book. And who in the world is Seth Brockingham? These are questions Carol would find answers to before it's all over. She wanted Gordon back. She would do her best to find out where he was. She found out that his next book signing engagement would be. Excuse me. She would make sure that she would be there. Carol yawned and ran her hand through his thick hair, the thick red hair. Her head felt tight. Her migraine began to wake up. She stood up, went to the kitchen, poured her some water in a tall glass, pulled her medication out in the cabinet, and took two. In about 15 minutes, the migraine, began to fall back to sleep, giving her time to think again. She walked down the hall to her bedroom, went to her closet, and pulled out a suitcase and began packing. Carol was determined to talk to Gordon and find out what was happening with him. So that was the end of the encounter with Carol. Carol now finds out that something's not right. This is her Gordon. This is her Gordon. How in the world now that he's calling himself Seth Brockingham? What is going on here? So now she is in the mode to go find out what the hell is happening. Okay. All right. Okay, how many followers have you accumulated? Gordon walked over to the desk and gave Nadis a disc. Nadis sat in front of the computer. After inserting the disc, he began to silently read off names and addresses of thousands of children. Nadis smiled. The numbers look great. Did you read your reviews? I mean our reviews. They love us and hate us at the same time. I love it. As Nadis continued pressing keys on the keyboard, he wasn't paying much attention to Gordon's haggard look in his eyes. It was time to take the contacts out, and he walked into the bathroom. Nadis was talking loud so that Gordon could hear him. You might have to stay in Colorado longer than usual. That's where we're getting a lot of resistance. I don't know. It's nothing you can't handle. I know it's nothing you can't handle. Gordon Howard from the other room. If nothing else works, I can add them all to my list of enemies, not to exclude the ones who want me dead. Nadis' eyes gleamed. Was that supposed to be funny? No, it's true. May I ask when this will be over with? I'm ready to go back to my old self. It's over when I say it's over, Nadis whispered through his teeth. Are you tired, Gordy boy? For a long moment, Gordon would not answer. Gordon walked back into the living area and flopped down on the couch. He looked up. Yes. Do you want to go back to your home? Again, Gordy answered, yes. Well, guess what? I'm not. We have at least 10 more states to visit, and we will be doing some overseas countries as well. So he's putting Gordy to work, okay? Now, do I have to remind you what will happen if this mission is not accomplished? Nadis snapped his fingers and the television came on and it was the news. They were announcing that the boy with the eyes of fire had died down in Louisiana. Then the reporter began talking about some of the kids who were running wild in some states, destroying stores, buildings, and cars. The police had to work overtime to get control of their cities. You see all of this? This is what I wanted. They're celebrating, as you can see. The ones who are celebrating are no longer suffering from the outbreak. Nadis said, mocking one of the televangelists. You are healed. Rise up. You are healed. At that moment, his features began to change. A foul smell came out of nowhere, and Nadis took on his true form. I've waited a long time, years, thousands of years for this, and now it's almost mine. Gordon was tired, but he was astounded as he watched Nadis change into this hideous creature. Gordon took napkins from the table and pressed them against his face to fight off the smell of Nadis. Gordon took napkins from the table and pressed it against his face to fight off the smell of Nadis. Gordon knew he was living in a nightmare. He just wanted to wake up. Hey, I'm going for a walk. I need some fresh air. Don't stay out too late. You need your beauty rest, Nadis said sarcastically. Gordon grabbed the pullover sweater from his vast collection of clothes thanks to his friend Nadis. He slipped it over his head and walked out the door. Gordon didn't want to be recognized, so he wore a baseball cap over his eyes. He stopped at the nearest telephone booth and dialed Carol's number, but there was no answer. He left a message on her answering machine. Then he dialed his cell phone number. On the fifth ring, he heard her voice. He was exhilarated. Hi, baby. Gordon, what's going on? I can't discuss.
Why not? I saw you on television. Why didn't you tell me you wrote a book? Who is Seth Rothman? Everyone thinks that's your name.
Calm down, Carol. I really can't tell you anything now. You wouldn't believe it anyway. It's a long story. Gordy, I want to see you. I know, and I want to see you too. Why did you lie to me? I can't tell you that right now, Carol. Please stop asking me all these questions. I really can't answer them. I just want to see you, okay, Gordon? I know you will tell me the truth soon. Gordon asked out of fear, where are you? I'm trying to get to you. I don't think it's a good idea for you to come here. Gordon, it's too late. I'm already here. Tell me where you're at right now. Gordon's heart leaped from joy and also from the fear. From fear, excuse me. He realized it was safer if he would come to her. Why don't you tell me where you are and I'll come to you? When Gordy hung up the phone, he held down the cat.
All right, so what do you think so far? I'm going to take a little break and we're going to come back because I want to discuss what's going on now, okay? So let us take a little break here. Like, why are you taking so much? Because I really, really think we should, okay?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have arrived in Philadelphia. Local time is 3:05 p.m. and the temperature is 67 degrees. At this time, you are now free to use your cellular devices.
You know that feeling when you get to turn your phone on after the plane lands? you can have that feeling every time you drive. Make sure your cell phone is stowed away whenever you are behind the wheel.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Major key alert.
Don't ever play yourself.
Life is like school. You will be tested, so pass it.
Learn the real major keys to getting to college at GetSchool.com.
Stay focused. Now that's the...
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair? Or...
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
All right, you guys, we're back. Welcome back to YCCMW 2020. I'm your host, Alita. If you want to call in, 563-999-3576. That's 563-999-3576. And we are in the midst of talking about an unpublished book by moi, C.B. McCall, A Hell of a Pen Name. And we're at the point where everything is just like the momentum is boiling, like everything is boiling. It's coming. It's going to happen. You know, we're talking right now. We're in Tennessee where we're talking about the ideal that Gordy has taken on this new persona. He is Seth Brockingham. His hair has changed. His eyes has changed. His clothing has changed. But his mind and his heart hasn't changed because he still loves Carol. Despite what anybody says, he still loves Carol. So he's going to now go try to sneak off and hang out with Carol for just a moment. Carol left. She was concerned about him. She's like, I got to see my man. So now she wants to go see her man. And let's see if that's going to happen, okay? So now we're on Chapter 7, and we are back in Louisiana, okay? Now, Candace stepped out of the car into the sunshine. The heat was unbearable. The suit she was wearing today didn't do her any justice. Her feet ached. She had been on them all day and had taken a toll on her. Her face brightened when on her doorstep was a little basket. She bent down, picked up the basket, and began to hear a purring sound. She peeked inside, and there was this baby calico cat lying on his side with bright green eyes. Around his neck was a red ribbon and a note that read, "A friend who needs a home." Her heart leaped for joy. She unlocked her door and was met there by her dog, Scotty, barking and jumping up and down as though he knew what was in the basket. She placed the basket on the countertop and picked up the phone. She dialed James's cell phone. He picked it up on the third ring. "Hi." Candace loved the way his voice sounded over the phone. "Thanks for the basket with this little surprise in it." "What are you talking about? Don't act all innocent. I love this little fella. He's cute." "I'm serious, Candace. I didn't give you anything. By the way, what is that I'm supposed to have given to you?" She started to feel silly. She fell silent for a moment. "Candace, are you still there?" "Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you bought me a little kitty. I wonder if I knew it would be, I would have if I knew it would make you happy," he said. She's starting to feel a pang of jealousy. He was kind of a little bit jealous, like who in the world brought her this cat or kitty? Candace knew it had to be from Lloyd. He will not give up. "Does he have a name?" Curiously anxious to find out who was sending her little kitten and what else has he had already sent her. "No, but I will call him Patches." "Well, looks like you got a secret admirer." "Yeah, yes I do." "Well, I'd better let you go. I'll call you later." "Please do." She hung up the phone and walked down the small hall to her bedroom. She slowly got undressed and carefully put all her things in the proper place. She then fed her dog and carefully fed the little kitten. She took a shoebox and an old rag and made the kitten a little bed. Scotty refused to be ignored while she fed the kitten. He repeatedly jumped up on her arm. "All right, Scotty, settle down. I won't ignore you." She bent down and scratched his ears, and he stretched out and turned on his pink and furry belly, begging for her to scratch so she could be begging for her to scratch it. She then dialed Lloyd's phone number, and a woman answered. "Hello? May I speak to Lloyd?" The woman's voice was familiar. It was the lady that he had cheated on with her. "This must be Candace. He's not here. And what are you doing calling him? I thought you said you didn't want to talk to him anymore," she asked in her usual smart tone. "I just needed to ask him something, that's all. Could you tell him I called?" "Sure," she said, laughing sarcastically, and abruptly hung up the phone. As if, "Yeah, right, I'm going to actually tell him you called. Are you really serious?" Candace settled back on the couch with the little kitten in her arms. She rubbed him until it was sound asleep. Excuse me. Scotty jumped on the couch and fell asleep cuddled up next to Candace's thigh. She gently led the kitten back in its new homemade bed. She finished watching the TV. She was about to fall asleep when the phone rang. The kitten slightly moved but didn't wake up. Scotty raised up his head and then slowly laid it back down. "Hello?" "Hi, it's me, just checking on you. How's your new addition to your family?" "He's asleep right now." Is everything else all right? You seem to have something on your mind." "I'm fine. Would you like to talk about anything? It was almost like he could feel that she needed to talk. "Can I ask you something, James?" "Sure." "Do you still believe in God?" "I sure do. Pray all the time." "Why do you ask?" "It's just that sometimes I get so busy that I forget to pray. I feel that God tries to get my attention through events in my life. Does that sound weird?" "No, God doesn't punish you because you forget to pray. He knows we're human. But we must not let that stop us from not praying and thanking him for what he has done for us." "I guess you're right. It's just that I read my Bible and I understand a lot of it. And what I don't understand, I use my concordance. I have not been to church in a while. I don't know why, but I just haven't. I was wondering, not trying to change the subject, what happened to you that day when you came off the elevator?" She gave a big sigh, and she began to tell him what happened in the staircase. "Wow, am I crazy?" "Oh, no, I don't think you're crazy. I just think you're experiencing something that was unusual, that's all," he said, reassuring her. They talked some more. Candace began to feel much better. James always knew how to make her feel comfortable. Little did they both know that lying in that box by her feet was a creature, not a cute little kitten. His eyes glowed as he turned over. He heard everything. He needs to convince her, just like he needs to convince Dr. Sullivan and Dr. Good, not to leave out convincing Gordon. But he was almost there. He needed another leader down here to get things rolling for Gordon. She would be a great candidate. She's pretty, she's smart, she's an authoritative position, and she also works around children. He stretched again, peeked his head out the corner of the box, and looked around. There on the couch was that dog. "I will work on that dog. He is in my way," Knox thought to himself. The next morning, Candace was finishing up her coffee when the phone rang. "Hello?" "Hi, baby. What do you want?" "I tried calling you back last night, but your line was busy. You must have had a lot to talk about." "I called to thank you for the kitten." "What kitten?" "Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. The little calico kitten that was in the basket on my steps. I don't need to tell you that you already know that. You already know that. I didn't leave a kitten on your doorstep. I'm not lying. It was not me. Candace felt stupid. I'm sorry. I thought it was you. Did you want it to be me? I have to go now, Lloyd. Have a nice day. Not waiting for his reply, she hung up. She walked back over to the coffee table, grabbed her briefcase and purse, and walked out the door.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly...
Sorry for that. Nadis watched the door shut behind her. The sound of the click let him know he was safe for right now. He jumped off the bed where he pretended to be asleep and walked toward the living room. He jumped on the kitchen table where the newspaper spread out and the front page headlines read, a friend of the author of The Boy Who Had Wings is missing. He looked back at the dog and the dog caught the look. He whimpered and ran in the other direction. Nadis changed forms and walked back through the door. All right, we're going to stop right there. Wow, this is juicy. This is juicy, 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 juicy. We're going to stop right there for tonight. I am going to attempt to come back tomorrow night and continue with Chapter 7. And we're going to be in Tennessee. So we're going back to Tennessee again, leaving Louisiana and going back to Tennessee. I think this is exciting. I hope you guys are excited. This sounds so good. And as you hear me fumble, those are the parts that I'm not sure with. But when I go to actually redo the story, it's going to be wonderful. And I'm going to have everything the way it's supposed to. I cannot wait. Okay. Cannot wait. And, I'm excited because this is something I wanted to do a long time ago, was to finish out my books. And the next book that I have, actually, I think it's already been published, but I removed it. If I'm not mistaken. Did I? I don't know if I published. Now, this book is really good. It's really juicy, and it's more adulterated, okay? It's got a lot of adult stuff in it. The next book that I want to throw at you guys, it's not like this book. At all, but it has another flavor to it, and you're going to really like it. And these are just fiction books that, these are fiction books that I wrote and never did anything with, or I have done some things with them, but not everything, okay? So I'm really excited about finishing this up. We're on Chapter 7. We're going to try and go all the way to Chapter 8. I think it ends with Chapter 8. Let's see. Yeah, it's going to end with Chapter 8. So we got this chapter and 8 to go. And then I definitely want you to, if you get a chance, go back and listen to the show and tell me what you think, feel about it. I mean, I'm excited because I know where it's going to end. I mean, I know where I'm going to stop. And I do have the ending to this story, okay? Believe it or not, I do have the ending to this story. But I'm not going to share it with you guys because when I get it on the bookshelves, you're going to like it. And my goal is to have it completed, completed by... I want to have it done. I want to spit out 2 more books this year before this year ends. I'm going to try to. I'm not going to say that it's going to be a definite, but I'm going to definitely try to spit out 2 books. Okay? Wow. Okay? So, I want to say thank you guys for hanging out with us here on this show on YCCMW 2020. Don't forget to go to our website at youcan'tclipmywings.com. You can also Hit us up on Instagram at YCCMW2020. You can also go to You Can't Clip My Wings on Facebook, okay, and check out some of the posts on there. If you want to post, please feel free to want to join it. Definitely do that, you guys. Great. I am so excited to finish this up and move on to the next story. I think this is a great platform for that, you guys. Okay? So you guys have a great night. We love you here at YCCMW 2020, and we'll see you next time. And like I said, I'm going to attempt to bring you guys the rest of it tomorrow night. I'm going to try to. Okay? All right? Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.